Hey everybody, this is Alex. 1717 is moving into the East Village early fall 2018. We hope to see you there. In the meantime, we hope you're enjoying this episode of the 1717 Brewcast. If you are, we'd ask you to like, subscribe on iTunes, and share with your friends. For any up-to-date news, follow our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at 1717 Brewing Co. And if you'd like to be part of the show, you can submit your questions or comments on the bottom of the podcast tab on our website at 1717brewing.com, or you can email me at alex@1717brewing.com. Welcome to 1717 Brewcast with 1717 Brewing Company. I am Alex Glenn here with my co-host Ty Tanat.
Hey everybody.
Jerry Glenn.
Hello.
Phil Glenn.
Hello there.
And Fox Mulder himself, Matt Glenn.
Yep.
So the Matt, alien whisperer.
Matt, you saw a UFO.
Don't, hey man. Oh, here we go.
I wanted to hear the story.
Oh, I got to hear the story. But let's back to you, Alex. We'll get back to this.
No, no. Let's get right into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a UFO. Did you guys?
I believe you.
Fucking with me. Heaven's Gate's coming back around.
Get your 38 cents ready.
My favorite part was your drawing of it.
Oh. Can we put that in the show notes?
That'll be in the show notes.
All right.
He drew his pecker.
I like Alex's response. I said that was inadvertent. He said, I figured you would have drawn it much better.
True. So true.
My favorite part was, I think you said something, you were dunking on an eight foot hoop outside.
Oh yeah, you just gave me 6 inches. It's more like 7.5. I'm still bashing though. I dunked on Tate.
I thought he told you Duke was going to lose though.
Oh, they did. They screwed me. So they're not obviously not friendly aliens.
Duke's out?
No, Duke's not.
I remember he said Duke was going to get beat.
Yeah,
I got Duke going to the championship.
Did you sleep that night?
Fuck yeah, like a baby. I'm pretty sure I got taken. I didn't go to sleep till about 2 o'clock.
Car start the next day?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Any backdoor soreness?
No, but I did one day, though, and I'm pretty sure that's either a vindictive wife or a previous experience. I No, so that previous time, I saw some weird shit in the front yard, and I woke up the next day, no life, fucking asshole, but storm. It wasn't bleeding or nothing.
What do you mean, no life? What?
Yeah, it was weird.
No, I didn't know there was a previous encounter except for in Colorado.
Yeah, that was weird.
Oh, that was
Yeah.
That was stupid.
Welcome to UFO talk.
I believe this one.
I'm not saying it's aliens.
Yeah,
that's aliens. Yeah. What else can I admit?
Well, that's not Russia. They're too busy with Trump.
But we're not getting political.
They got all their eggs in that basket.
Wait, what did you just say? Backtrack, you woke up with... What happened?
See, you guys are taking me down a road. We're talking about beer here. Actually,
we haven't started talking about beer yet.
I saw something run across the front yard. Like you guys are going to think I'm full of shit. But this is the truth. And every time that anybody's talking about aliens or something like that, if they say, I know what I saw, then that's the truth, right? So I know what I saw.
That's the barometer.
What do I got to lose, right? Yeah. So I saw something run across the front yard, and I step out because I'm like,
because you're a man.
Yeah, what's this all about? What are you
protecting
doing?
Your castle.
And it goes, and it looks like it jumps. No lie, looks like it jumps. All I'm seeing is a shadow. And it's running, and then I look up, and there's a big-ass owl in the tree. Like a big-ass owl. Mm-hmm. And, like, UFO experiences talk about owls all the time, right? So my asshole was a little tender the next day.
I don't know how we get from A to B there.
That's what I wanted to do.
All right, let's move on. What are we drinking today?
I'm drinking the mango chutney from Golden Pump.
Chutney?
What is it?
I can't see
legally
the
blonde cart.
That's called a cart. From Golden Road.
Golden Road.
Are they bud now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
The chick runs the show on Viceland. What's it called?
Beerland.
Beerland.
Beerland? Is that it?
Yeah, beer.
What is it called for real?
Mango cart.
Mango cart. Okay.
Yes.
And it tastes like a mango.
Yeah. Are you guys fans of fruit in your beer?
I'm not sure how to answer that. What's coming next if we say we do?
Well, no, I was just going to ask, because I'm not a big, like, fruity beer guy.
It's a wheat, so you can pretty much put any kind of fruit you want in a wheat.
I like the suggestion of fruit. Either like full on fruit, or you don't fruit it at all. You know what I mean? Like I make that Pink Panther. It's just a wheat beer with black raspberries I grow in the backyard. All natural, 100%.
That's tasty.
Organic.
It's kind of sweet.
It's crazy sweet, yeah. But it's bright pink. You know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like that, but if you give me a raspberry wheat that has an extract in it, I'm gonna get angry about that. I don't like that.
But I've made a shit ton of that, and people love that shit.
I know, it's weird.
Yeah.
Do you think that's what this is, extract? I mean, super mango-y.
No, there's a lot of people that actually cut up fruit and shit and put it in there. I don't know. That's pretty sweet, though, so I wouldn't think of
that would take all the mangoes that are grown in New York. Mango capital of North America.
So where do you put the fruit when you're making it? At what stage?
What shape fruit are we?
Pear shape.
We're talking pear now?
No. You're making a mango wheat. At what point in
this
the
is,
process do you put this
this
in?
All has to be post-beer. I mean, like after...
Is it in the...
Yeah, after it's done. Or okay. It's going to take on some sugars and hype it up because the alcohol is only 4% in that thing.
Yeah. They put this in pre-fermentation, it's going to eat all the mango out, and you're going to get like a 12% funky-ass
beer.
Nobody likes that. Except for Budweiser, obviously.
Jerry, how are you liking it?
I was just wondering, does it give you the farts, Bill?
Breathing gives
him
the farts.
My brother Ed said air gives me gas. But I will not be doing that down at the brewery, trust me. Unless you're into that.
But Jerry, you liking the beer? Because you don't drink beer.
Yeah, what am I drinking?
I don't think Jerry's drinking that.
Oh.
No, I'm drinking something else. What is that?
Jerry's got an IPA from
IPA?
Odell.
Out of Boulder.
Yeah, I like Colorado. It. Indian Pale Ale.
It's
good.
It's
got a big elephant on there.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
That's a good brewery.
7%.
It is good. You've been there?
No, I haven't. No. They got a lot of good beers.
No,
but it's an IPA, and it's sitting at 7% again. Here we go. Everybody with their high making you angry. Pisses me off.
Do you know the Surgeon General said you shouldn't drink when you're pregnant?
Yes.
What kind of bullshit is that?
But then if you drink IPA, it brings in your milk production, so I don't know.
How do you know that?
I'm in the healthcare field. Not for long.
Boobies. Okay.
All right. Where are we going today?
Quick disclaimer, Jerry's been drinking all night.
You can tell he's more vocal than he's been the last two episodes combined. He's loving it today. Okay. He is right up on that mic.
It's about time, though. You can hear it.
That's good stuff. All right, well, where are we going today then? Last time we talked about the spot, so I guess today we're going to talk about what we're filling that spot with. So the equipment. I don't know anything about the equipment, so why don't you guys take it?
Ty was asking some good questions before we started. I think Ty should take over.
Do it. I'll take it over, yeah. So first off, how big is the brewing area?
It's bigger than a baby's arm.
There are two things that are bigger than a baby's arm here today.
Only two. So, what, 800 square feet?
800. Right? The brewing area itself is 800 square feet.
So we have about 800 square feet for the brewing equipment. So tell us a little bit more about your brew system. How's it set up? Where's it coming from?
So we are doing a 7-barrel, 3-vessel brewing system. And we're putting in place 15-barrel fermenters. So when we do this, we're gonna run double batches on our brew days or be able to have flexibility doing some smaller brews on some of the more seasonal things or what have you. So we're gonna start with 5 fermenters, and hopefully that will yield us enough to hit our brew goal. We got a couple of goals that we initially set up when we first started talking to bankers as far as how many barrels we want to produce. But where we're at and the popularity of that area down there, I think we're going to pass our goal first year. So we're going to be pretty. We had to be big enough to make beer so people come in and taste them.
Well, that's kind of interesting to bring up the banker. So that's something that I didn't think of. Do you mind going in more detail about how that process played out and what you kind of explained to them and how your system would work and how much beer you were going to produce for them to get a better understanding of how things was going
to
work?
Yeah. We go in and talk to the bankers. It's a lot of stuff that we explained to them was, I always talk about our 2-minute elevator speech, what have you, but it gets a little bit longer. We start talking about the system and what we want to do and, where we want to buy it from, because some of these bankers have gone through breweries before and they don't think that we can buy the equipment for what we're going to buy it for. But we've got extra secret special people out there making stuff for us that's going to keep the price down. So, as far as telling them, you show them the, I guess, lack of better words, what was it, Jerry? Pro forma or the profit and loss, when we broke down, what we need to make as far as to make a profit. Then we show them a couple of different options, what we're going to do. So, like, our goal is to make money, obviously, but it also has to show them that we're going to make enough money to pay them back without them, flipping out. And so, that number was kind of our drop dead. This is the least amount of beer that we want to make. And then, but we're going to be above that. So that was kind of our little goal, our stretch goal is kind of what is going to be more realistic as far as I'm concerned.
Can I interject really quickly? You said that your banker had worked with other, this is kind of off topic, but had worked with other breweries before?
Yeah, we talked to a few different bankers, and one worked with several brewers around town.
Was that good or bad?
No, it's good, because it was good and bad, because it was good because they had a better understanding of what we were trying to do, and you didn't have to kind of invent the wheel with them. But it was kind of bad too, because the guy had seen some of the what he thought was trends in the market and that brewing. Honestly, he thought that the brewing was going to start slowing down, which is nuts. Because if anybody knows Central Iowa, how many breweries we have here? Less than 10.
How many breweries do they say pop up every month? I mean, it's a ton nationwide.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
None of them are here.
No. No, not at all. I think this guy's looking at the market all together, like, all right, who's bringing beer from where, and is there room on the shelf for you guys, blah, blah, blah. But initially, that's not our problem. That's not our issue. And we talk about the tariffs a little bit, too. We're not worried about that either, because we're not going to be canning anything right away, So our biggest challenge is going to get people inside our brewery and spending more money with us, because you buy it retail over the counter from us, it's going to make more money for us. And if we gave it to a local grocery store and let them sell it for a lot cheaper, so it's good and bad. The guy kind of gave us a couple good resources, but then again, he wasn't can't see the big picture, so we ended up going somewhere else.
Well, what was nice about that guy though, as we went in there, he looked at our business plan and everything, and he said that we did our homework, and because he'd worked with other brewers, and he kind of gave us some feedback that we really did a nice job. And that told us that, so we went to somebody else. We were a little bit confident.
So what are other brewers like, other brewer business owners like? Are they just brewers? Are they business owners? Do they know what they're doing? Do they know what they're getting into?
I don't know. quite honestly.
Yeah.
You guys go to brew pubs, you talk to brewers? Because I never do. I mean, I never talk to you. I know a couple of the owners.
One.
Yeah, we know a couple of owners around town, and they're pretty decent people. But
that's kind of what we wanted to do, to set ourselves apart. Like Matt always says, we want to be the brewer's brewer. Approachable, talk to us, right?
Yeah.
We're local guys. We want to do things a little different. That's why we're taking this approach with the podcast. We want you guys to be familiar with us, to feel like you have a conversation going with us, so you can come down and continue that, right?
Yep. Yeah, well said.
Yep.
All right, so we can probably go back to the equipment. Ty, you were asking good questions.
As you brought up earlier, you're going to have 5 fermentation tanks. how many mash tuns are we going to have? How many brew kettles? How many hot liquor tanks? What's it all going to look like?
So the system we're getting is a three vessel system. And if you think about it, like the way it's going to be set up is that we'll have hot liquor tank kind of in the center, and then off to the right and left side. Jerry likes that one. Off to the left and right side of that is going to be the mash tun and the brew kettle. So you know, we're going to, and just for those of you that, you know, maybe aren't as familiar with brewing, I'll just do a real crash course in this from grain to glass, okay? And those of you who are familiar with brewing, all this stuff is going to be incredibly familiar, and you'll be like, oh, my God, this is exact same on a small scale as it is on the big scale. So when you – and Phil, jump in anytime.
You bet.
So our hot liquor tank, we're gonna put the grain in the mash tun. And this is a great visual for the for those folks listening at home. But just think about the three vessel system in front of you, the platform in the middle, and two strapping beautiful young men in the middle of those
not
tanks.
Not sweaty either.
Not sweating an ounce.
So in their boy shorts.
So the grain and the water from the hot liquor tank go to the mash tun, where the mash tun the grain's steep. For, you know, depending upon how long we need them to steep for, suck that out of there into the brew kettle. Brew kettle, we heat it up, start the boil. So from the brew kettle to the wort chiller, which is another little like radiator looking thing off of an old truck, you know, about that size. You know, where was I? Oh, wort chiller, yeah. Into the fermenter. So the cycle is basically, it's just hot liquor tank, grains, brew kettle on its way to the fermenter and cools down in the chiller. So, you know, for our system, you know, did we talk about size of the brewing system?
The brew house?
Yeah.
The 7-barrel.
Yep. So we're doing a 7-barrel fermenting system, but we're doing 15-barrel fermenters, meaning that we're going to do double batches on a lot of our stuff. And the reason we're doing that is because, well, the reason we're starting with a 7-barrel size is because it gives us a little bit more flexibility than we would if we had something bigger. And we had kind of talked about this before, like the, you know, we got a seasonal pumpkin or a seasonal, you know, Christmas beer that we don't want to stick around too long, or you know, we don't know what kind of reception it's going to get. We'll do 5 barrels on something like that so we can scale it down from 7 to 5 and still be effective in that brew system. And we can still ferment it in the big tanks. It doesn't matter.
We don't want you guys drinking a pumpkin in summertime.
That's our goal. Unless we have, you know, pumpkin summer beer.
Yeah.
And then you can come drink it. We're going to do Christmas beer in July, though. So you will be drinking Christmas beer in July. So, Christmas in July, and we're watching nothing but Hallmark movies.
Damn it, Otter.
I say Lacey Chabert.
Christmas.
Ooh, who?
I love her, too.
Who?
Gretchen Wieners.
It's ridiculous that you guys know Hallmark movies.
So from the fermenter, it spends some time in the fermenter, turn it into beer. And then from the fermenter, we pump that into our walk-in cooler where we're going to have serving tanks.
And where's that cooler going to be located?
In the tap room of 1717.
Good call.
Where am I going?
isn't that behind the porch?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
It's behind the facade in the house. So, you know, a handful of reasons for that is that, and this is for you aspiring brewers, you can't serve directly from your brewery into the tap room. You have to have it out of the brewery. So you can't have a tank right there. You can put a tank behind your bar and serve out of that tank, but you can't serve from any tanks in the brewery coming out into the front house.
Is that like a law,
it's a fed law.
That's what's the purpose?
Just their dicks.
Oh, they want tax money.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's part of it. So when you get these fermentation tanks, have you guys ever gone in and you see these janky looking stupid fucking stickers on the tanks that say FV1, FV2, FV3, things like that, or BB1, BB2.
Oh, yeah.
You see those things?
No.
So you have to label them like that per the feds. One is fermenting vessel 1, fermenting vessel 2, fermenting vessel 4.
Yes.
So, what? Shit.
Brewery.
Sorry.
No, beer bright tank 1, beer brag tank too. So the beer brag tank is where we do our tax calculations. So we have to be able to gauge how much beer goes into that brag tank to be able to say, okay, this is how much produced beer we're going to sell, and this is what we pay our taxes on.
Huh.
Yeah. Pretty smart of them. It takes a lot of bureaucrats.
Yes.
Uncle Sam.
I hate that because it kind of ruins the look of the tank a little bit too, depending on how they slap it on. I've seen some
You can be a dick and get those, those stupid stickers that are reflective and they look like they're off of a boat, mm-hmm. say there'll be a lake, Or you can paint it on there. You can do funky stuff. I'd like to do some funky stuff to it.
That's cool. Can you do that? Can you add art and stuff?
As long as you have it in some way.
Thing with adding art to those type of things is that, we clean everything with boiling hot water, and sometimes it just gets funky. So if you're going to use, and I thought about this before. I thought, man, we could draw really cool things on the tanks, but you just got to use Mariner's paint that, can stay wet and never really dry. Because I want Brad on a couch. Tidian. No, nobody. Saturday Night Live. Dumb Bears. No. This one's Brad on a couch. By Tidian.
Nice. So to go with all the equipment and stuff, and we talked about this last week a little bit, you guys plan on having 15 to 20 beers on tap at a time. I'm kind of new to brewing and how it all works. How many different beers can you have fermenting, being produced at one time?
Well, it just depends on how many tanks we have.
You know,
they're really, when they're in the fermenter, that's when the yeast is eating the sugars and producing the alcohols. So when that is done, when that process is complete, then we can move the beer from there. So it just kind of depends on how fast they're fermenting, and we're going to watch the temp in those pretty close. So we'll be able to make lagers and other stuff in there too. So
how long does that take, that process right there? Is it different for different beers?
Yeah. It can be. It depends upon, your lagering takes a little bit longer, but not an incredible amount longer. I mean, it's hard to explain because there's a way to fast lager beers. But if you lagered a beer like you would traditionally, it would take, 2 months for that beer to be ready?
2 months, two to 3 months.
Yeah.
If you make it at home.
Yeah. But we're going to do some fast lagering stuff like you talked about, paying attention to the temperature, what have you. Because yeast are it's an organism, right? And it does different things and it tastes different ways depending upon how you treat it and how old it is and how warm it gets and what have you. Because, if you stress a yeast, if you underpitch a beer, you put too little yeast in it, it stresses yeast out, gives you kind of off flavors, what have you. So you have to be, you have to be pretty smart about the yeast stuff, But, depending upon the temperature and, how many generations you use that yeast before, it'll speed up or slow down the process and what have you.
You guys are smart.
Well, like I said, we're not going to slow you down. You were going somewhere good with yeast. You asked about how long it took. Finish that answer.
Anywhere, if you're just doing just a common Irish ale or a pale ale or something like that, the first one's really going to go ape shit in the first 3 days, 5 days. And then what we do from there is we can either take it off the yeast, get the yeast out of there, because sometimes if you leave the yeast on the beer, and sometimes it'll throw off flavors. So if we want to, if we pull the yeast off of there, we're going to let it sit another 5-7 days. And then it should be. We'll take gravity readings, see if it's all done, and then hopefully move her from there.
On the side of these big-ass tanks, there's these little knobs, and it's got a little spout. We'll take the readings out of there and see where it's sitting, what have you. Now, I'm a big believer in, I like to let my beer sit for, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before I drink it, and the reason I do that is because it just, the longer it sits, the cleaner it's going to get, the better it's going to taste. A week after you keg it, it tastes completely different than it does, when you first get after it and want to drink it right away. So, depending upon where we fall in that realm of what we want to do, the reason we landed on 5 fermenters is that we can produce selling out of our place if we, you know, depend upon, you know, what kind of beer we determine to produce, we can produce anywhere between 12 to 1,500 barrels of beer a year. And that's you know, honestly, that's a stretch goal, and that would be really awesome if we did that. And I'm saying produce that and sell that over the counter. Now, we could produce it and give it to people like the iCubs or, you know, have some keg accounts or do, you know, any goofy festival that comes up like we're going to. So, you know, and that's why I say, you know, we start with five. Then we get a six tank that might be bigger than all those, and that's something that we just use to produce to send out to everybody else. You know, that's our distribution tank.
Did you say give it?
Give it
to the iCubs. You said you're going to give it to the iCubs.
Well, shit. If they let me in the locker room, I'm banned. I don't know if it's a lifetime ban or if it was just for that season, but they wouldn't let me back there anymore.
So how long you guys get in, you get the equipment, it's day one, you immediately start brewing. How long is it going to take to stockpile enough to have it made that you guys can then finally open?
Well, and I don't have the brew schedule that I put together in front of me. But what we want to do is we get our provision license from the city. So first thing first, you get your Fed license because, you know, without that, the state, the city don't even want to talk to you because they figure if you can't get a Fed license, then you're not going to waste their time. So we get our Fed license. We go to the city, state, whoever, and say, all right, you know, here's our licensing, you know, from the feds. You know, give us a license or let us start brewing right away with a provisionary license type thing, right? And then we start up. Phil and I are going to brew pretty much every day until every tank's full. So 5 days in a row we'll brew. We'll, you know, and these are going to be some pretty, like we had said, some pretty innocuous, easy fermenting beers right away that we can move out within the next 7-10 days at the very most, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
So if we have, nice drop in. We have like, we have 8 serving tanks in the cooler. We have 8 serving tanks in there. Those 5 go away. We do 5 more, you know, less than 2 weeks later. And then we just continue that process, fill up kegs, fill up more tanks, have things in the chute. So to answer your question, you know, I want to get open as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But if we open at a month, we might have, and it's not, you know, honestly, it's not that big of a deal to me. I mean, our goal is to get up to 15, 20 beers on tap. I mean, we want to have as many beers on tap as we possibly can. But if we open and we have, you know, 10 or 12, that's fine. You know, if that means we're open a month and a half rather than, you know, 3 months down the road because mm-hmm. we need to get open as soon as possible.
10 to 12 of one brewery's beer is quite a bit.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Especially with no, I mean, you can get 15 at another brewery, but they've got 4 or 5 guest taps.
You know, and the thing is initially too, I mean, we will distribute and we will do stuff, send beer out to other people, but initially we're going to keep it real close to chest. So those, you know, first 10 beers, we're not selling those, you know, outside of the brewery. You know, I mean, we'll do like, growlers and stuff like that, but you know, all of it's going to be in-house. We're going to sell it over the counter, and then we're going to start beefing it up. So our goal is, once we ramp up and once we're going, our goal is to release a new beer every single Friday.
You know, there's breweries, you hear about stories about people lining up around the corner to get a certain beer. What the hell is that about? Man. Is it?
It's a cult of personality, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the same thing with the iPhone or with the new Jordans.
Well, honestly,
if you get people that,
if you're doing a beer like every Friday, you're going to kind of take away from that.
Not really. Not because
that anticipation and that people wanting it.
Well, not new beer meaning every, you know, every beer is going to be unique and different. Like new beer meaning, you know, we got a pale ale coming out that might be different, but it's not going to be. Well, shit. Yeah. All right. Maybe we should. All right. Let me clarify that. New beer meaning that we will come out with new beers, we'll do new beer releases, and we're going to have fresh beer out every single
Friday. The new beer, what you're talking about is going to be different.
Yeah,
that'll be the special.
I should have said fresh beer, but yeah, we will do new beer. And we are going to get that cold of personality that you're talking about because, you know, who doesn't want to be fucked with by us? You know what I mean?
Right.
So new beer and not every single week. I should have clarified this. Not every single week is going to be a different beer because, I mean, we're not going to be able to come up with 365. I mean, we could.
That would be 52.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be
52
for Alex. Big brain on Alex. Thanks a lot, Alex. Making me feel like an asshole.
I was an English major and even I'd come up with that.
How's that?
What about the Christmas break? Let's go 51.
So anyway, yeah, but I mean, we definitely could. The thing is that, you know, we're looking at, if we sell what we hope to sell, we're looking at 2.5-3 times a week brew. So a couple of those are going to be, this, you know, sustain us. You know, then the other one hopefully will be something different, unique, fun.
Can we talk about what type of beer you're going to immediately have then? What are your first ones? You kind of talked about it, but what are like the five that you have to have out day one?
What do you think? I mean, I don't have any plans.
No, not really. I mean, I think we should. We talked about taking it back to the basic stuff, though.
Yeah,
we talked about a pale, an IPA, maybe some kind of wheat, a stout. Nobody has a stout anymore.
No, nobody has a stout. No, we got a black IPA that we're gonna. And this is one of the things that you know, we're not gonna do a bunch of beers and then do them a bunch of different ways. You know, like sour the black IPA and. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But the black IPA is something we're going to do a couple different ways. We're going to nitro gas the black IPA, so it's like a stout, that creamy head type of feel. And then we're also going to just do it straight up black IPA. Jerry.
Yeah, Jesus. I like the way he said that too.
I got to watch my words.
I didn't say anything.
The foam.
What about a Pilsner for guys?
We will.
You know, we do have a pills. We got a couple different pills that we can do for you.
I know people.
Yeah. Just come
on. I know. I'm getting better.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You are.
Thank you.
No, and that's the thing. We want to have a wide range that people are going to come in. And, you know, if you're here with your girlfriend or boyfriend and they like IPAs and you don't like beer or you like a Bud Light, we will be able to feed you that Bud Light.
Right. And kind of introduce you and like teach you, right?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So, Alex, kind of answer your question again, too. So, yeah, there's going to be the way I look at it is that, you know, not so much beer, but style, you know, because we can have, you know, honestly, I could probably make, you know, 7 different IPAs and they all be completely different and just so wildly vast from each other that you can drink all IPAs for a weekend and, you know, never get off of that. But we can also do lump something into the German label, and we could do a Dunkel and a rye, and we could do, you know, all sorts of goofy shit. Jerry, what the hell, man?
I think Dunkel's a funny word.
Dunkel.
He said Dunkel.
Jerry is not allowed to drink beer anymore. I just look over.
Sorry, sorry. Like sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's because we're like staring at each other.
Here you go.
Right,
somebody
say
no, we want you to come in. We want you to look at our board, and we want your mind blown for the amount of beers that we have and the different kind of beers that you have.
Yeah.
My suggestion, obviously, Session IPA.
Yeah.
The reason, right. Because the only brewery around town I can think of that has one is Exile. And, I mean, everybody loves them, so...
We have a bunch of different beers that aren't sours and funky age shit that,
you know,
nobody has on tap right now, and that's the thing, you'll be able to find at our place.
You know, and that's again, brewers, brewing classic styles, right? I mean, who says, like, and just because you can put, you know, a jalapeno
Lucky
chunk of cheese, yeah, exactly, in a beer doesn't mean that you have to, man. I mean, yeah, it'll fit in the pot, but don't fucking put it in there, you know? I don't want to drink that shit.
Have you ever had a really spicy beer like that?
Yeah.
I've had a jalapeno.
Yeah, like
on a steak.
Instant heartburn.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Heartburn. Yeah, for sure. That's to you, Jeff Dunham. So,
Alex, did you like it?
No.
No.
No. No. No. No.
Nobody
no.
Does. Nobody likes jalapeno beer. I don't know why they make it.
Literally, it's just because you walk in there and you go, "Hey, look at that jalapeno beer. I'm gonna try that."
Yeah,
and then everybody tries. They're like, "Hey, can we get a sample?"
No.
And that's all they do.
They give you a 32-ounce of that shit.
Yeah.
So, do you say, "Give me a jalapeno"?
Yeah, I did. I did actually.
Of course you did.
Yep. White guy here.
One thing I want to make a counterpoint to Phil real quick is that. You know, I don't want you know, your beardies, beer nerds. Help me out. What word am I looking for here? beer connoisseurs.
Enthusiasts?
Enthusiasts. Yeah. You super, super beer guys. I don't want you thinking that we're going to neglect you because we're not. But initially, right out the bang, you know that barrel-aged stuff means exactly that, barrel-aged. You know, and if you come to our place, we're open for 2 weeks, and you're looking for something that's been aged for a year, you can fuck off. Because you got to understand what you're asking for. Okay?
And you're going to buy one and then hit the skids anyway.
Exactly.
Go back to the pale ale, so yeah, yes. Suck it.
So when you come in and you want something goofy and shit, you just say so and bend over, Phil, put his finger in your ass, and you'll like that. And then you can start drinking better beer. Okay? That was all scripted. No, but seriously, we want you guys to come in, and you will find something you like. We make some pretty unique beers, some really good beers. But here's the thing: that stuff will come. It's not going to be there day one. And I'm just messing with you. I love you people, but eventually you'll get that kind of stuff. But you know, as the tides roll and as the styles come and go, we'll stay up with that stuff. But when you come in, you're also going to get an ESB. And when's the last time you had an ESB? And it's going to be the best ESB you drink.
I bet a lot of people have never even had it.
Probably never.
Yeah, the only time I've had one was when you guys were brewing them.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What is it?
It's an extra special bitter. It's an English pale ale.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean it's a you know it's earthy and it's fantastic and nobody makes them anymore.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking about the beers that you guys are going to have probably available right away. But what are your guys' favorite kind of beers to make?
I love making anything in the pale ales. Sessions, double IPAs, black IPAs. Anything with a hop in it, I'm your guy. You know, that's what and Phil and I talk about this a lot. Like, and this is kind of a good dip, like... You know, how we compliment each other. You know, ah, fuck.
Yeah, you're pretty.
you're
pretty.
Banana.
No, that was fine. Keep
you're
going.
So smart.
Yeah.
You is small. You is.
Like, I do. I do a lot of hop stuff. You know, I'm a hop guy. I love learning about hops. I love experimenting with hops and doing different shit with them. Jesus.
What it's like a podcast. I don't know. Jerry's making me laugh. There's like everything that I don't know why I looked over him. All I could think of was one hop mama. I don't know why I thought that. All right, keep going. You're the hop
guy. All right, so anyway, I'm the hop guy. And then Phil.
I'm not the hop guy. I'm a low hop guy. I'm a different hop guy. I'm a blonde guy, a wheat guy. I like to do some Irish ales, Scotch ales, that kind of thing. But if I didn't have to put hops in a beer, I don't think I would.
I don't think you would.
I don't think I would.
No, you're
two old guys from the Muppets.
What's that about?
But you know, we always say that the yeast makes the beer, and that's kind of more along Phil's end because I want my yeast to be clean. I don't want it to be perceptible at all, you know, unless I'm doing something funky. And don't get me wrong, I brew the shit out of anything. You know, I'll brew all the stuff that Phil brews, and he does some pretty fantastic IPAs. In fact, his Juicy's better IPA than I've ever made.
Ooh, thank you.
Juicy.
We do compliment.
Yeah.
So is that your favorite beer to make because it's your favorite to drink?
I'm a hoppy guy. But that's not why it's my favorite. It's because there's so many different ways you can go with a beer. Like I was talking earlier, no bullshit, man. I probably make 8 different kinds of IPAs. You know, and that's session, pale ale, black, you know, English, everything. You know, and I can make 8, and I can make them all be so different from each other just because of the different styles of hops and the different yeast I can use, things of that nature, different adjuncts, things that get it, you know, different. You know, and that's why I like LLs. And I know maybe that's not a popular answer with a lot of the beardies, that the ones that came in with their Bill's finger in their butthole. but I do. I do like it because it's so vast. I mean, you can never make the same beer twice if you wanted to.
But it always seems like you can tell a good brewery from their pale ale. You got a fantastic pale ale.
Thank you.
That's what people will notice with us.
So why do you like to make the non-hop stuff?
I'm a more of a flavor guy. I like to add flavors. I like to add different grains, that kind of thing. I don't really care much about the hops. I like to see what the flavors are going to do together. I like to cook.
Phil likes to get experimental with his different malt bills.
I do. I like to.
You got a good vanilla porter.
Thank you.
Hey, let's
give you. Geez, all kinds of compliments.
No, I like to add different flavors. I like to do some marshmallow stuff. I like to do some vanilla stuff. I like to do some chocolate stuff. I like to add.
Yeah, I think Phil and I compliment each other a lot too, is because we're growing up, we were the most competitive with each other. Our family had certain sections of kids that kind of hung out together because there's so damn many of us, you know, and just the age group. So we have worked out, and Phil and I were the only two. We're the youngest two, and we're the last two in the house. So we really had no choice but to hang out with each other, you know, even if we didn't want to. But we were competitive, and you know, we fought all the time, and we, you know, we push each other all the time, you know, to do stuff. And so, you know, Phil would make something beer wise, and I would come in. I'd try and make it better just to throw it in his face, and you know. And he would do the same thing. Like, he'd come in and made a better, you know, New England pale ale than I would make. And I'm like, God damn, man, I'm the hop guy.
I did that on purpose.
Well, let me ask you guys a question, because you never, you know, what kind of beers do you expect in place? What do you want when you go to a brew pub? Brewers to consumers, what do you guys, what's lame when you walk into a place? What do you like? What don't you like?
Well, I'll start. I kind of brought it up earlier, I guess. Like, right now, my favorite beer to drink is a Session IPA, just because I like the amount of hops that are in it. I like the smell of it. I kind of like the citrus smell that comes with it. But when I walk into a brewery, you know, I expect to smell what's going on. I expect to see the people working there. I expect to go up to the counter and talk to the beer tender or whatever they're called. And I expect to ask them a question for them to have an answer. You know, I expect them to know what's going on, how it was made, who made it, when it was made, and just give me a good profile on what I'm going to drink. So there's some good breweries in town that do that. Others that could probably use a little more work, but that's probably the first thing I notice. And then just having a good area to sit and drink. If I have a couple friends with me, I want to have an area where we can sit and talk, it's not too loud, and then if we're so inclined, you know, play games, or I'm a big trivia guy, so I like to go and hang out and have some trivia. But like I said, again, back to the beginning, my personal preference is to have a Session IPA. If that's not there, I love just a good IPA, so.
Yeah, I guess I want to taste the rainbow. You know, I want there to be everything from an IPA to a stout.
That
taste the rainbow.
That's what got me out of
that's okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do. I want everything. I want it to be from an IPA all the way to something super dark. I'm a stout guy myself, but what I don't want to see is I don't want to see five of the same beer. I don't want to see a blonde, a session blonde, a double blonde. I don't know. I just don't want to see
nitro.
Yeah. I don't want to see five of the same thing, especially when you only got 15 beers up there. You have a third of your beers. They're just one thing.
Yeah.
And especially if you can't really differentiate the taste between them.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately has happened. And then you're sitting there, let's get a couple flights. We've had two flights of five beers and we can distinguish between three of them. And that's definitely not what I want to see. I think if you just have everything that you can, as far as like what you said, a style, just like the classic style, then you're not going to be as disappointed. Mm. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it
makes sense. For I sure. want to try.
Like Kurt Cobain said, to entertain me. Here I am now. Entertain me. Right?
Do you right? need.
Are you not entertained?
Do you need to see 10 beers up there that are above 6 and 7%?
No. No, not at all. That's why I like sessions.
Because if you look at the actual styles of beers, none of them. Hardly any, unless you got a double and a triple.
Well, Phil, to go with what you just said, that's kind of why I was so hesitant to get into craft beers. Like, when it first started out, I was used to drinking Coors Light, Miller Lite, and those are 3.5% alcohol, you know. And so it was kind of a jump to go to 5-6%. It was really hard, like, on my body, I guess, almost to drink a 6 or 7% beer. It would make me really tired and just lethargic. So it took a while to get used to that, I guess, as a kid and whatnot, as a, you know, 20 to 25 year old or whatever. And just to get used to the taste and whatnot as well. So I don't know, I guess the more you drink, the more you're used to it, but I prefer a beer between probably 4% and 6%.
And that's the ones that, I mean, just if you're going to do a classic style stout, let's say, you know, if you look at the percentage alcohol, what is it? 3.5 to 4?
English stout's like 3.
Yeah. I mean, you should not have a stout that is 7% if you're going to stick to the style.
Yeah.
And if I can be honest, it's the last thing I look at. I do not look at the alcohol percentage unless, you know, sometimes I've got them written up there. I think actually probably usually. But I don't look at that unless it's sitting at 9 or 10. And I said, we're getting a smaller glass. It doesn't concern me. I want a good tasting beer. I don't necessarily want to taste the heat on everything. Sure, every once in a while it's fine. I mean, we went to a place down and they had something at 10. Was it at 10%?
Oh, yeah. That was a barrel-aged, remember?
Yeah. And it had a good flavor and everything, but you can't sit there and you drink that all night. You have one. Yeah. What's the point of sitting there? And like you said, you're also trying to get people to drink more than one beer.
Yeah. What did I just make? And to your point, like you're tasting the heat.
Yeah.
If you're a good brewer, you don't have to taste that. Like my black IPA finishes above 7, and you don't get any alcohol at all. What was that I just made, man? Was that Christmas beer that came in way, way high?
Yeah, Christmas beer.
Didn't. And you didn't.
Yeah,
you
that was in that
at Christmas. That, and you couldn't taste any alcohol in that. You know, that's just an easy, smooth beer. But it was, what did that finish at? That was well over, that was 8.1.
Yeah, that was 8, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could tell after you had one, though.
Oh, yeah, when you went to stand up. but yeah, I'm with you guys.
Yeah, that's, I do look at the alcohol content when I'm in there. And I don't know, maybe I'm a pussy, I guess. I don't know. I would rather have 3 or 4 beers and know kind of where I'm sitting.
No, you're not a pussy. You're just, you want to experience beers and we want you to. You know, that's a thing. You know, we have 15 to 20 beers on tap. You come in, we want you to drink 5 of them and then leave, you know. And maybe even that might be a little bit too much. We don't want you, you know, getting shit-faced and hurting yourself or somebody else. But we want you to come in and be able to drink more than 1.5 beers and be able to, you know, not be obnoxious. We're the ones that get to be obnoxious. It's our place. You
know? Well, and if I'm going to be honest, too, when I go to a craft brewery, my goal is not to get smashed.
No, you want to try as many beers
as you can. I want to have beer. Yeah. I want to taste good beer. If you want to go party, there's a different atmosphere for that. You go down to, you know, main town court, and you go party, and you go dance.
Oh, dude, I'm a party, though.
Well, you're going to party.
Party.
My name's Rod Nock, party. Yeah, but it's a different style. It's a different vibe. There are different places to go and do that stuff. Go have a rum and coke. Go drink some liquor. But when you want beer, you want to taste the beer. And you don't want to choke it down either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what Matt's trying to get at, it's not going to be a bad time when you're there at the brewery. It's going to be an awesome time. They're going to be there dicking around with you, giving you some testers. And
make sure you ask for something weird from Phil. First week we're open.
Oh,
get ready for that thing.
I'll do it.
I will do it.
So you guys said you're going to stay up with the times. Does that include hazy? What's going on with the hazy?
Yeah.
What even is that
right now? Yeah. You know, that's just a good beer. You know, I mean, it's Phil made one real good. He called it Juicy. And because that's what it's like. You drink it and it's like you're having some kind of, you know, juicy fruit, like a peach or a nectar or some shit. And I'm trying not to get sexual because I know Phil's getting half hard.
No, I want to say it.
Talking about the nectar rolling down his chin and all that stuff. And oh,
stop.
Banana.
Jesus.
With my safe word. Kruger. Now, the hazy beer, it's cool because it's less work for a brewer because you don't have to clean it up. Uh-huh. I mean, it's grained to glass. I mean, honestly, there's no filtering. There's no boil off. There's nothing in there that's going to clean that shit up at all. And like I said, I don't know why it became a style, but it did, you know, because I don't know. I take a little pride in ownership, and when I make a beer, I want it to be clean, you know. And I don't know why that's become the style profile of that particular beer. But
I think somebody fucked it up one time.
The king of rhymes.
Somebody bought it up one time. They're good market.
Yeah. Yep. And then they said,
"What about that glitter beer? Do you think you pee glitter?
You want to get punched?"
So that's really happening right now, though.
Yeah, I know.
Is it happening here at all?
Hey, let me. No. Oh, gee, fuck. I hope not. Let me go out here and say something real quick. Okay. The
speak your mind. And there's a
woman. He's going to offend 10% of you.
There's a woman in the room right now. Yeah. And I got to say this: the quickest way to alienate a woman is to completely gear something toward a woman. So, like, if I make an IPA and I make it pink and I say, "Here's a pink IPA for the ladies," I want a woman to punch me in the face.
Oh yeah.
Well, there was a backlash with the lady Doritos, right?
Yeah.
You heard about all that stuff, and it's the same thing. It's pandering. So, talking about offending people here, you guys were talking about one of your theme nights that we kind of talked about last episode and didn't get to. Called Phil and Matt are Dick Snipe. Can you elaborate on that?
Well,
what else that needs to be said?
Phil and Matt are Dicks. Well, if you listen to two or three podcasts, you already know that.
I think I sent you a text with a t-shirt that I made on like t-shirt.com. Like yeah. Brought to you by t-shirt.com. And Hyundai. But it was
brought to you by.
It just said Matt and Phil are dicks. Cause what were we screwing with you? That was because it was hilarious.
That's all the time. I remember we were in Colorado, and Matt, you were dicking with me all week.
That was a long trip
all week, man. And he finally looks at my dad and he goes, "I think Alex and I are gonna fight." So I remember what you guys were talking about. It's just a thing.
Well, just know if you come down to the brewery and we kind of make fun of you for something, then
you can submit your claim to us, your complaint. And if we deem it necessary, we have t-shirts that said Matt and Phil are dicks.
And this is a t-shirt you got to earn.
Yeah,
it's not earned. Buy.
It's not given. It's
no, earned. you gotta earn it.
I got a physician at Mercy. He wants to be part of it. He already kind of pissed him off already with something I said to him. So
he already gets to.
Every single person that wanted to come in for a sour beer or in a barrel aged beer that I just yelled at 5 minutes ago, yeah, you get a shirt.
We want to have fun stuff like that. So, yeah, calm down.
Get berated.
Yeah.
You get a t-shirt.
You get a $5 t-shirt.
Matt and Phil made me cry, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Yeah, don't come in if you're goofy looking, because you didn't fuck with the media.
Well, that's good to know. Retrospectively, that's what's happening. That's all time.
I'm
not, he's just goofy
I'm not
looking.
Coming in.
Jerry doesn't have the heart to take it.
No.
No, we won't fight you guys. I mean, you know. We have fun. We like
you're too old now.
We like to screw with
yeah.
So if you're getting mad enough to where you want to take a swing at it, just tell us to stop, and we'll stop eventually.
And give you a shirt.
Yeah, maybe give you a shirt. Yeah. We thought about putting it out there as a thing where it was like an essay-type contest. You write it up and what have you. But then that just welcomes trolls and what have you.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome. Do a little, like, spoken word Def Jam poetry. That'd be kind of cool.
On a stand-up comedy night, we'll have Matt
like
and our dick sessions, you know. Get out there and talk
about Bill's dick.
I like that.
Harriet,
who's
sweet
bigger?
Harriet.
Yes, having a measuring contest.
I'm a grower, not a shower.
They're going to be back in the cold room seeing who's gets smaller.
Dude, I can't afford it to train.
I was in the pool.
In the pool. Yeah, but we'll do that on stand-up comedy night.
You guys going to have a mic? You guys going to have stuff like that going on?
We're gonna,
yeah.
Only snaps, no claps. Yeah. Which goes against my other personal...
Snapping.
Credo. If you can't clap it, I don't tap it.
What?
I know what I'm talking about.
I knows nothing of what you're talking about.
You better not. He's married to my dog. Sweet baby.
You guys going to have music down there and everything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll do some music.
You guys have like a space for it, or you got to move stuff around? What are you guys going?
Since we're talking about,
I just want to know if there's a vocalist out there because I'm a tambourine dude right now. True.
Cowbell. So cowbell.
One tambourine, one cowbell. If you guys have not seen him play a tambourine, it's spelled by
oh,
me. Thank you. Hey, stand Mr. up and pay for buttermilk. It's fun.
It's a jug band.
That's all I've ever wanted.
Brother. There might be others.
We'll have to have a tambourine talent show.
Oh, man.
God.
That would not be a talent show.
Exactly.
Now you've offended the tambourine audience. There are two people listening. They're fuming right now.
Hey, you think our brother Tim will bring down his accordion and play us a few?
Oh, shit.
Lady of Spain.
Is what?
Lady of Spain. Everybody knows that on the accordion.
Do
no, they? You don't? So, my wife.
Wait, do you play accordion?
My wife is Italian. And my father-in-law, he's like, of course, every Italian kid learned to play the accordion. I'm like, Lady of Spain? He's like, hell yes.
Really?
You never heard of Lady of Spain on the accordion?
I don't think so. That's
you
one
never
that, I didn't know there was different songs.
You never heard
of it. Did you remember when we were in Colorado, I was on a kick, man. I was going to learn how to play bagpipe. Then he told me that it fucks up people's lungs.
Yeah, it'll give you,
Oh, seriously?
Like popcorn
lung? Obstructive lung, yeah. It'll stretch your lungs out like you got COPD, like you've been smoking forever.
It should.
Yeah. I was.
But you better should be some, pipe, so. There should be some consequences to making that noise.
Yeah, man, I had it all lined up. I had a buddy who was playing. I was going to learn how to play. And this guy comes in and squashed my dreams. Well, you want to end up like an ex-smoker? Go ahead.
Now somebody plays smoking bagpipes.
Somebody plays Amazing Grace on bagpipes. I'm weeping like a baby.
It gets you right here. Huh?
Oh, tears me up.
Look at Danny Boy. Oh, don't play Danny Boy around me. I think I'm welling up right now.
Suck that tear.
Rest in peace, Maury.
All right, I think that's all we have for today. We'll see you guys next time.
Hey, come on in the house. We got beer.